Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live, welcome to the program here. As always, you're invited. If you want to join us and take control of the airwaves, you can do that. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can also join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the various features we have waiting for you there. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is digital cash. It is a cryptocurrency designed around the idea of actually spending it. Because there's a ton of cryptos out there that they just don't care if you ever spend it. They just want you to buy it and hold it forever and hope the number goes up. Well, Dash has actually been in use for quite a long time. It's actually one of the world's oldest cryptos. It's been around for, I think it's 2014. Had a different name at that time, but they renamed it to Dash shortly thereafter. It is digital cash, and it works really well at that. In fact, they've stayed focused on that vision. They've launched some really cool features like Dash Direct, which came out last year, and that's their app that allows you to actually spend Dash at over 150,000 locations across the United States. We're talking major retailers, brands that you're familiar with, and you actually get a discount for paying in Dash. So finally, you have a reason to actually spend your cryptocurrency. And you can get the Dash Direct app through your Apple or Android app store and get started with that. Each store has its own discount. Can be as low as less than 1%. Can be as high as like 8 or 9%. So it just all depends. Most of them seem to clock in at around the 4 to 6% range. But any discount is better than none. And Dash Direct can help you with that. Again, gives you a great excuse to actually spend your crypto. It makes it super easy. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And thanks to the Dash DAO, their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air, you can visit Dash.org and learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. All right. It's Ian here with you, by the way. I don't know if we introduced ourselves.
I don't think you did. And Mark?
And Mark is here with us, not from Mexico City tonight, but you've moved. Where are you tonight, Mark?
I am in Antigua, Guatemala, which is the original capital of the Central American Republic, which is no more, but it is a very old city, very interesting, the sort of the layout, the styles and things like that, not what we're used to in America. Mm-hmm. It's all walls along the street with doors, and you sort of enter the door into your area, wherever that might be. It has courtyards and houses and things like that. Often families would own, there'd be separate areas off the courtyard and that kind of thing. Very interesting. And I want to say a special thanks to my son, Jack, for giving me a new neurosis. Also that and the big fire up in Canada, because air quality has been an issue.
Really?
Now, Mexico City isn't known for the greatest air quality in the world.
But wait, wasn't it a volcano that was causing the problem in Mexico City?
You're right. Maybe I should. I've been looking at air quality across the United States here just in the last few couple of hours. And honestly, it's terrible in the U.S. too. But yes, there is a volcano in Mexico that's not doing so nice. But bad air quality is stretching all the way down to Georgia. Even
from Canada?
Our hometown. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I can't really tell you, but our hometown of Sarasota is sitting at a moderate 53 right now, as far as air quality goes.
100 places, being the worst or best?
100 is bad.
Okay.
And zero is good.
Good. Okay. Got it.
But let's say Riverside, Tennessee is at 142.
Whoa. Okay. It goes higher than that. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. United Avenue.
Where do you get this? Like weather.com? Who's got this info?
Well, that's a good, very good question, because the numbers change depending on the website you get it from. I like this one. It's waqi.info, and it'll give you it from around the world. It takes all the information, pulls it all together. I wouldn't trust it, but to be the full source, but I...
If you pronounce the website, it's wacky.
Yeah, wacky. It's wacky. World's Air Pollution Real-Time Air Quality
Real
Index.
Real Air Quality Index. Okay, or World Air Quality Index. Got it. Got it.
And basically all of the Northeast, it's not so bad where you are in New Hampshire. It's, you've managed to sort of dodge it. I mean, you're just moderate now, but yeah, there's some places that are pretty awful in the U.S. And down in Mexico, I'm presuming that there's some effect from the wildfires, but maybe it's all volcanoes because it's all centered around Mexico City where the air quality is bad.
Yeah, they said,
but anyway,
something,
I've got a new neurosis now.
Okay, they said something over, I don't know if it was the weekend, that we were supposed to get some, you know, fallout from smoke or whatever from the fires. I didn't notice anything. I'm not noticing anything right now.
Yeah, I think that most people with without health problems are going to not notice anything in the moderate region. It's when it starts getting into the red that normal people will begin experiencing it. But I had a headache for like 4 days in Mexico City. And
so what does your son have to do with this? I'm not really clear on that.
He's the one who brought up that it's probably the exhaust inside of a major city because, you know, he just... He likes to sow chaos. So.
All right. Well, I do want to talk about Central America, because Honduras is in the news. It's someplace you've been spending a lot of time over the last few years. We can get into that. But the big news, of course, of the day, I think you know, a lot of people are talking about it on social media at the moment. It's this Supreme Court decision that purportedly rejects affirmative action at colleges. Now, I say purportedly because that's the big headline. That's what everybody's saying. But Jeremy Kaufman, who's with the Free State Project, posted an interesting tweet from someone called Kofivi Anon on Twitter, who says that the court actually did not overturn affirmative action in this particular case. And then they give an excerpt from the ruling, which was, what was it, like 6-3, I think, or something like that?
It was 6-3, yeah.
Yeah. I know you had something from Reason.com. I don't know if you want to go through that, or I've got something from CNBC.
I don't think that, right, it, I think it's the claim that Reason's making is that they struck down affirmative action in college admissions.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
Yeah, that's what they're saying here. That's
okay.
That's what this is.
Supposedly. So, yeah. Well, so in part, a Supreme Court ruling is it's the spirit of the law as well as the letter, right? So if a lower court believes, if people generally believe that affirmative action is no longer acceptable in college admissions, they are going to act as though affirmative action is no longer acceptable in college admissions, right? The college administrators are going to find excuses for admissions. They're going to find ways to, well, these test scores, the you know, this ethnicity does better in these test scores, you know, so they're going to figure ways around it. The same
that
as racists have always
thought. That was what I immediately
thought,
by the way. That's as soon as I heard this, my first thought was, this is going to be meaningless. It's just going to officially wipe affirmative action away. They won't be able to say that they have a quota. It'll just be the unofficial, unspoken policy.
And so let's take the argumentum ad absurdum here. Before we even read the article, let's go this way. We're going to take Bubba's Barbecue, and I'm sorry to Bubba out there. I'm not meaning to say anything about your business. But Bubba's Barbecue what's the most racist state as far as you're concerned, Ian?
I don't know, Mississippi.
All right, Bubba's Barbecue in the most racist city and the most racist state that we can come up with, right? And Bubba's Barbecue can't say no black people allowed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the
discrimination laws.
Love 1969 or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Civil Rights Act, yeah.
Yeah, Bubba's not an idiot, or at least not that much of an idiot. He knows how to keep black folks out. And Bubba's going to enact the systems for doing so. He's going to have, hey, you got to pay ahead, and, you know, he's going to, you know, you're going to get a dirty glass. You're going to get the worst barbecue he's got. Like, he's going to be, you're not going to want to go as a black person to Bubba's barbecue. Because, and I'm using all these things just as the most wide sweeping sort of racist things. And that's basically what you're going to get out of these racist colleges. Because let's not stop it for a second, ladies and gentlemen. Making decisions on who gets to go to your college based on race is racist. That is the definition of racism. Racism is choosing to do a thing based on race. Now, you can change the definition of race. Okay, go ahead. What's your definition?
I mean, the definition of racism, obviously, it's being changed over time, but I think the sort of the classic definition is that you believe that someone is inferior based on their race.
You're right. I think that that is the first and primary. But if you're not letting somebody in your business, that's, I mean, people are generally going to call that racist, right?
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah. So that's true with your school. Right.
If you're treating someone differently as an inferior is essentially an extension of racism for sure.
And here's what Harvard was doing. And this is simple racism. They were saying that if you are Asian, by whatever their definition of Asian is, and I don't even think they should be able to ask this question, but that's fine. If you're Asian, your test score needs to be, and I think it was 767 or something like that. That number I'm pulling out of my butt. But it needed to be that. And that was in the mathematics portion of the SAT. But if you're black, your score only needs to be 731 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're white, it's somewhere in between. Now, that, to me, just reeks of racism. You know, the idea that somehow black people are inferior to Asian people and that black people need to boost up over Asian people in order to go to the University of Harvard or whatever the situation is, that's just full-on racism as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought about this today, and I thought, what are the implications? And I guess the answer is, I don't care.
The implications of what?
The implication of no longer being able to use race in part of college admissions.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm fine with American schools, so long as these are Americans. I mean, you know, if they want to say, well, we aren't accepting people from outside of the country, I think that's something different than racism. I think that's, you know, selection based on nationality and something else. And they should be able to make that decision. Being an American university, they should be able to do that. But making a decision based on the ethnicity of the individual, of the American applying for college admission, I just think, well, you know, I think the nation will be better off if schools aren't able to make that particular decision. Did you want me to read the article?
Yeah, if you want to. Before we do that, though, I think that my curiosity here is, does this only apply to colleges that accept government money?
Well, there's only one that doesn't, so and that's Hillsdale College.
I don't know if I buy that. What were we just talking about the other day? Oh, yeah. The funny thing is this just happened to come up. Affirmative action just happened to come up on the show last night. We didn't know there was anything in front of the Supreme Court. And I think it was I think Bonnie mentioned that there's this university in Utah, Brigham Young University, that only accepts Mormons. And when she said that, I remember you talking about Hillsdale's, this only college that is completely privately funded. And it made me think, well, how can that be? How could there be a college that only allows Mormons that also is taking government money? I mean, you would think that the government would say, whoa, you got to let everybody in if you're going to take government money.
Yeah, I can't say I've pored over the numbers on this, but I know that Hillsdale would be happy for you to believe that they're the only college. Now, college and university, there's a different thing. Now,
there's
a strict definition between the two. I know, man. And
what
I'm happy.
Yeah, what is the difference between a university and a college?
Do you want the loose definition?
Because I don't know. Whatever.
Loose definition is a university has graduate degrees.
Okay.
So you can get a master's or a doctorate.
So what was the statement about Hillsdale, that they're the only college that doesn't take government money?
That's correct. If you remember the former sponsor of the show, Jason Osborne of SACL CAI, okay. He went to Hillsdale for his undergrad and went to George Mason for his graduate.
Okay, got it.
Let's go ahead and say this. 99% of colleges accept some level of government funding.
That's probably
true. I would say that's probably
true
with Brigham Young, too. Just because somebody gets a Pell Grant doesn't mean that to my mind, it doesn't mean that they have to be a non-religious college.
Okay.
But it could be. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know, I think it's fine that Brigham Young only accepts Mormons.
Me too. I don't think that any colleges should be getting government money, though. I think that should not happen.
I think it's – here's one thing is that I would – there's a list of colleges that I'd like to see Jack go to, and Swarthmore is on that list. Now, this is a wildly liberal school, but I like it because it has Quaker origins, and there's a Quaker meeting on Sundays. And – you know, I mean, people tend to have these preferences based on their own religions, right?
Now, would you want to send Jack to college? I mean, after all these years, after all the time that we have just railed against the college system and how much of a waste of time and money it is for most people, is Jack going to be a doctor? Is he going to be an engineer? I mean, these are the things that we have said on the air. You, I believe, specifically have talked about this, Mark, over the years, is that, yeah, you know, if you need to be an engineer or something, then go to college because you kind of have to.
I've got some very specific criteria that I believe I'm still sticking to, which is if you're going to be a doctor – if you want to be a doctor, you want to be an engineer, you want to be a college professor, you want to be some of this small subset that needs to go to college, then you should go to college.
So does he want to be one of those things?
Hold on. I'm not done with my subset. Also, if you have to pay for it, you should seriously consider otherwise, because you don't want to be saddled with the debt. Going forward, if you're going to pay for it, you want to be, at the very least, able to pay for it as you go. You don't want to walk out of college with 20 years worth of debt. Now, again, some people have a dream of being a doctor and they don't mind being saddled with the debt. And I ask them to think about it strongly and to consider, well, why don't you have a whole bunch of scholarships? If you don't have a whole bunch of scholarships, then maybe you need to reconsider this whole college thing. So in Jack's case, I've been blessed with, you know, some money, and Jack won't have to pay for his own college. So in his case, why not? What else is he going to do?
I don't know. He can do something productive.
He could.
I mean, you know, if you've got $100,000, he can buy a house.
What are the percentages of 18 to 22-year-olds that are productive, Ian?
Well, because they're in college, very, very low.
I mean, I know.
And they're just partying.
There's a reason they're in college, because that age group tends not to be productive. This is what.
Well, yeah, they were raised by a bunch of lazy parents, a bunch of lazy boomer or Gen X or whatever parents who did a terrible job at inculcating an entrepreneurial spirit into their kids.
Let's presume that I've done a terrible job inculcating entrepreneurial spirit in my son Jack at age 15. What am I going to do about it now?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not too late.
Nothing.
I mean, at 15, it's not too late.
Well, I think that the best way to institute entrepreneurial spirit in my son would be to take him to Tanzania and drop him off with nothing and tell him, work your way back to the United States. Good luck. You know, and I'm just not willing to do it.
The chances
of communicable diseases are too high, and, I just don't – I'm not into it.
Okay. Is he into it? Is he into going to college?
If a young person hears us and realizes he's into video games, he's 15 years old. He's not thinking about, like, I'm lucky when he brushes his teeth, okay? Foresight isn't the strongest suit of this particular demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the problems of the psychographic that likes to give advice to those of us with kids. is they often, A, don't have them, and B, have lots of strong opinions about how to raise them.
Well, I mean, I've actually got in the news here today a story from the Washington Post about a mom who actually, and apparently is in Alabama, who set up a lemonade stand and offered quote-unquote jobs to, you know, small children, six to 10 years old, and, you know, learning entrepreneurialism, essentially. And the government, of course, came after her for that. So,
of course they did.
So, I mean, there's a whole lot in society that pushes down the entrepreneurial spirit. It pushes down opportunities that kids would have to go to work early. Somebody who's 15 should already have some idea of what it is that they are interested in doing in life. But if all they've been able to do by government mandate is sit around and play video games, you know, until they finally are able to move out of their house, then no wonder we've got a generation full of useless teens and 20-somethings. I mean, it's really sad.
Are you familiar with the Montessori schools? Are you familiar with those?
I don't know if I'm intimately familiar with them, no.
So each of them that I've heard of has a entrepreneurial aspect and asks kids as low as fourth grade, and I don't know what age that is, but I think it's about 10, ask 10-year-olds to sell food at the bake sale, to perhaps generate some things that might be for sale at the little you know, the table and things like that.
Yeah.
And I was sending Jack to a Montessori school for several years. And every morning there's coffee and pastries essentially set up to pay, you know, ridiculously high prices for. and that money is split between, is basically, you know, goes to the school and then to the kids' stuff that they're doing. So,
okay,
for instance, Jack goes on a little trip, went on a trip every year. He's not going to that school this next year, but nonetheless, went on a trip every year. And, you know, so there's entrepreneurial stuff being taught out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is done within the confines of a school or a church. Mind you, churches do this kind of thing, too. And it allows kids to get that outlet without just going on the radio and complaining that this stuff is not happening. It allows you to get it. I'm not saying that it's good that this woman was arrested. By no means am I saying.
I don't know if it came to that, but I haven't gotten all the details on the story. But it's definitely, I think, something we should talk about. I had it in show prep for tonight, so we can get into that here. But we haven't really talked about the Supreme Court decision yet.
Sure.
And we can get into that, too. If you want to comment, the number here is 603-283-6160. Whether it be on the lack of entrepreneurial, you know, drive in young people all the way up through college education, quote-unquote. Of course, we've seen the so-called educated people in the United States tend to be the ones that believe the government more. So they're actually the more easily duped. They're the ones who are the ones that wanted to get the COVID vaccine, and they don't question the government as often as people who haven't been through, well, years and years of government so-called education, which is just straight-up indoctrination. We got more coming up here. Again, the number is 603-283-6160. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The former school resource officer Scott Peterson has been found not guilty on all counts for his response to the deadly school shooting in Parkland, Florida. An emotional Peterson spoke after the verdict.
I would hope I would never want any law enforcement officer in this country to go through what I went through.
Peterson was the only armed officer at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School at the time of the 2018 massacre that killed 17 people and wounded 17 others. Race can no longer be used as a factor in college admissions. It comes after the Supreme Court today ruled in favor of challenges to affirmative action programs at the University of North Carolina and Harvard. The High Court ruled that the university's admissions policies were unconstitutional. Aspartame is an artificial sweetener that's expected to be declared a possible cancer causer by the World Health Organization. Dave Collins, USA.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yep, it is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. We've been talking about the Supreme Court decision here today that they say is going to get rid of affirmative action in the college admission process. But is it really? That's what the headlines would like you to believe. But what really happened in this decision? We can talk about that coming up here. Your calls and thoughts, of course, are welcome. You can bring up anything you want to discuss. And don't forget, you can join us online over on our social media platform that we run. It's on our server. It's a Mastodon system. That means it is federated. So it's connected with thousands of other Mastodons all around the planet. You can get on there, you can express yourself, and you don't have to worry about censorship, at least as far as your ideas are concerned. If you're going to get on there and try to spam, then we're going to get rid of you. So we don't have a whole lot of rules. Basically, no spamming and no snitching. If you don't like what somebody says, then just use the block button. It's an option there. That's your solution. We're not going to take somebody down if you don't like their opinion. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. It's Ian and Mark here with you tonight. Mark joining us from all the way down in Guatemala. We're going to go to the phones here. And then, Mark, you want to get into some details on this Supreme Court case regarding the college admissions process. Kevin is in Georgia, though, listening to WGOW. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. There are some religious schools that will provide money through what they may call here in Georgia Hope Scholarship, which is an academic achievement-based scholarship that the student earns and is provided by funds from the state. Another one is the Pell Grant, which is based on family income. So if schools are just doing those two, would it be legitimate to say that they're government funded when they're based on the student's socioeconomic level and achievement? So just curious, what would define government funded?
Yeah, good, Mark.
I think that Ian is definitely going to say that the first penny that comes from the government is therefore government funded. I tend to agree. The Pell Grant happens to be need-based. So what? If the government puts restrictions on the acceptance of the money, for instance, all milk must be pasteurized and grade A or whatever it is mm-hmm. that they say, or that they must teach, you know, this set of curriculum or this thing or that thing, then the strings attached are what concern me the most. I care little about where the money comes from, because once an organization has stolen money from someone extorted it or whatever terminology we wish to use, if you can get some of that money back, then by all means do it. I don't think it's evil to accept it. All I'm saying is that when you do, be prepared for the other shoe to drop. I do have a list here from someplace, DeanClancy.com, that has a list of 22 colleges that don't accept government money.
All right, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Kevin, for the call. I appreciate it. 22, so again, colleges, does a college include university? Because university, you said university has the graduate program, so it also has a college, right? That's basically a college plus?
I would call a theological seminary a university because they offer a doctorate in theology.
Okay.
But the vast majority of these things say
college
after them.
Okay.
And again, I tried to equivocate when I was talking about the definition between college and university
mm-hmm.
in so much as places they did, you know, like there's some universities that decided, you know what, we don't want to do upper grad stuff, and they just never changed their name.
I see. Okay.
And there is one on the list called Weimar University in California. So whatever that means. So these terms are historical as opposed to factual.
Gotcha. Anything else on that list jump out at you? Something? Anything you recognize?
There's a couple of them in Utah.
Okay. All right.
Nothing. There's a lot of Bible stuff. Bethlehem College and Seminary.
Right.
Alethea Christian College. Christendom College. Faith Bible College. Oh, there's Hillsdale, which is, you know, it's a little Bible-y, but it's not exactly. Mid-Atlantic Baptist Theological Seminary.
Yeah, that's what I would expect to see, because those churches probably are wise enough to know that if they do accept that government money, it's going to come with those strings attached, and you've basically cut a deal with the devil at that point. So,
yeah,
good for them.
There's a lot of churches out there that don't think that they're cutting a deal with the devil when they accept government money.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Let's continue here. We got Renee on the line in Louisiana. Go ahead, Renee.
Yeah, I hope I got the right phone.
We hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I got two phones. But anyway, the left-wing or right-wing show I called just not interesting. My great topics. My topic tonight.
Well, we weren't talking about that, so go ahead.
Okay, my topic is they had legal expert. My topic is if you are defending yourself and it goes south against wildlife or a dog, how much trouble can you get, especially endangered species, if you have to defend yourself? Because where I live at, when I go pick trash in my trash truck, there are bears.
Wow.
And bears can be dangerous sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If you take out a bear, but you have to defend yourself or your dog, how dynamic would that be? Because if it's my dog, I love my dog more than some stray bear. You know, if I had to defend myself or somebody else, how much trouble can I get?
Well, I can't tell you what the law is there in Louisiana. I mean, this would be a question.
Or U.S.
Yeah, it's probably different by the state, would be my guess. I don't know, you know, what federal rules would apply.
A black bear is listed as least concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Concern.
Well, I know that here in New Hampshire, I did hear recently, because there was actually a free stater whose wife killed a bear, and then apparently subsequently killed another bear, which is amazing. And there was some question about, well, is this even legal? I mean, can you just go out and hunt bears? And apparently, yeah, you can. I don't know if it's certain times of the year or what the rules are surrounding that. I heard a rumor that you can only kill one bear, not two. But again, it just all depends on the state and the various different rules that they have. If you're out in the middle of the woods and a bear attacks you and, you know, you ice the thing and walk away, I suspect there's probably not going to be any proof that you did that. And, you know, you'll survive it. So I
would also encourage you that if you have to kill a bear, that you try to use the meat in a useful fashion. Now, I think that's going to increase the chance that you have
somebody
going to
catch you
with a wildlife guy. But again, it's nice to have, you know, carry a 1911 when you're in the woods. After you use up all the bullets, you can throw it at the bear.
Well, the thing is that when I pick trash, it's like urban, sort of urban, because they have bear cans for the trash can, stuck in intermittently in the woodland where the bears can come and play with the trash, but you got to throw away your trash. People don't burn trash like they used to 100 years ago, so you will make contact with bears. I don't think black bears are dangerous, but I'm nosy because, you know, grizzlies, I believe they're big, they're dangerous, and I believe they're, if you look, we live in a town setting where these guys are on the edge and they come over. Shouldn't you have, above all, the right to defend yourself?
You should.
Or a dog.
Absolutely. You should be able to defend yourself. You should be able to defend your dog. I don't know what the law has to say about that, however. Because a lot of times... Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I would, first off, I'd warn you that, don't come half-stepping when dealing with grizzly bears. You're in Louisiana, the chances of you encountering a grizzly bear where you are is low, but, if you are out west, I hope you already know that you need a 45 in dealing with a grizzly.
Yeah, 22 is just gonna piss it off, right?
Right, make it very, very angry. And, you know, you want the stopping power that comes with a 45.
At least.
I've got to say that the dog thing leaves me a little, you know, like I'm ambivalent on the dog.
On one hand,
I love my dog, right?
What, are you just going to let the bear maul your dog and stand by and do nothing?
Let's think about Harambe for a second. Here we have the most endangered primate on the planet, the lowland gorilla. And the most successful primate on the planet, the human being. We shot the most endangered primate on the planet in favor of the least endangered. And
we did?
The human beings. The lowland gorillas certainly didn't make a decision.
I suspect it was one person who made that decision.
I can tell you none of them were a lowland gorilla.
Mm. Well, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'm saying...
It's my damn dog, and I'm going to do what it takes to protect my dog.
Dogs are a very successful species,
mm-hmm.
and grizzly bears are not a terribly successful species. They're trying to make their way in a human world. Dogs have already figured it out about 50,000 years ago. And I'm ambivalent on whether or not one should... You know, smoke an endangered species for one that is not at all endangered.
Yeah, I don't give a damn. I thank you, by the way, Renee, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. You mess with my dog, bear's going to die. And I really don't care. I mean, I think bears, especially the black bears, they're pretty cute up here, and they're not the same level of danger as a brown bear or as a grizzly bear.
Don't hug them.
No, I have no interest in doing that. But, you know, there's been some pretty interesting videos of bears with the Russians. Have you seen the Russian bear videos online where they're just doing all kinds of weird stuff with bears?
I'm sure I haven't seen the same ones you have, but Russians tend to make pets of bears.
So. Yeah, it's amazing. But, yeah, I don't want to hurt a bear. I would rather not hurt anything. But if the bear is trying to kill my dog, then I'm sorry. That's my family.
What if your dog is aggressing against the bear? What if your dog is getting into the bear's face? Right? Like that's a legitimate question.
It is a legitimate question. That's true.
And I can tell you the one experience that I know sort of, well, it's not firsthand. My wife experienced, my ex-wife experienced it, and I did not. But she had our dog, Honey. You remember her.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the trail behind our house in Westmoreland, and a bull had gotten out of his pen.
Whoa.
And there he was doing bull things, not aggressing mm-hmm. against anybody. And the dog goes up to the bull.
Oh, no.
And then decides to run away from the bull.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, by the way, on an abandoned train trestle.
Right.
So there's literally no left or right. It's mm-hmm. frontwards or forwards towards the bull, away from the bull. Yeah. And the dog decides to run behind my wife. So mm-hmm. now there's a bull moving quickly towards my wife, then wow. wife. She decides to make some noise and, you know, scares the bull off, and you know her. She can scare a bull. And the bull turns around and goes home. But nonetheless.
Wow, I've never heard that story before.
Yeah, yeah, that happened out there. And, but, I mean, you know, if a dog goes up to a bull, to a bear, it's probably going to go after the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog is probably not going to not go up to the bear.
I think she would have been within her rights to pull out a gun and blast the bull if that's what it came down to.
I agree.
But I don't know what the law says. And it's like, I'm not a lawyer. I can't give legal advice. And again, thank you, Renee, for calling with the question, because it is an interesting question. But you got to do your own research on that one.
Well, I think that she's certainly, if a bull's heading towards you, you have the right to pull a gun and shoot it.
Yeah.
And again,
I would hope so.
Don't stop shooting at one bullet.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. We continue.
This is why
here.
You should train.
We got Ricky. He's in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Brother Mark, good evening.
What's on your mind?
Good evening to you.
Well, I had a couple comments about last night. I will tell you, I'm privileged, and I got to tell you, I'm most definitely honored. And this is something I never thought I'd probably never see again, that I was the first caller on the first night that Miss Bonnie was in the seat.
No, that wasn't the first night. She's been in the front seat here for a few, I think two or three other times.
Well, I'll tell you what, I did first to me anyway.
Okay.
Well, right, but I'll tell you what, I got to tell you, Ian, I looked at that 3 hours. I thought, to my exposure of her, I thought she really did good.
I agree.
You know,
yeah, I think she's got what it takes to be an excellent host. I think she has what it takes to be an excellent host.
I saw a whole different side of her, because when she was dealing with callers, I thought that was some of the best discussions I've heard out of her since I've been here.
Well, that's very kind, Ricky. And she is listening tonight, so she's heard what you have had to say. What were you calling in about tonight?
Well, no, I was. That being said, I thought she was great, and I'm going to call in Wednesday. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Anyways, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying here, and, you know, I know growing up, okay, and, you know, things were different when I was younger, and you're close to my age, Ian, and you are around my age, Mark. You know, I see what breeds racism, and, you know, when you have, say, a college or a school or a store, and I see it on all sides, all colors, it could be anything. What it does is, they'll say, oh, we only do this, we only do that. It could be blacks, it could be whites, you know. And what it does is it'll aggravate the other side of it's a black issue, aggravate a white issue, and so on and so forth. What about white people? What about black people? What about us? And both sides have been doing this. And I don't know how this can come to an end. You know, there shouldn't be. You know, you're saying it's okay to have an all-white school and all-black school. I disagree, because there's a famous black school. Maybe Mark can help me with this. I forget what it's called.
There's more than one. Bethune-Cookman comes to mind in Florida. There's
one.
Texas A&M. Isn't that historically a black school?
Florida A&M.
You know who's on this? The girl from, what's her name? I can't remember her name. The girl that's on MSNBC, the black girl, she went.
I don't watch television.
But anyway, the point is, what's interesting is she went to that, but she also used affirmative action to get into Harvard, and she was proud of that. You know, and I just don't think.
So you're defending affirmative action here?
No, I think it was wrong. Because
I thought you just said that there shouldn't be all black schools and all white schools.
I'm saying she used it to go into Harvard affirmative action. They were going to let her in, you know? And see, what I see happening, Ian, and I noticed myself, because I lost a job as a result of affirmative action, and he was a terrible worker. You know what my boss said to me? Oh, I'll give you a good reference. You can get another job, Rick, I guess because I'm white, you know? That wasn't acceptable. I didn't do
it.
Wait a second.
That was a better you got fired for being white? Tell me this story.
Okay. I worked at a lumber yard. And there was this kid. He was younger than me, a little younger. I was old. I had at least 5-6 years on him. And it was when I was in my early 20s. And everybody called him Stymie because he looked just like Stymie from the Little Rascals. Put a bowler hat on him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would do just about anything. You know, I did, you know, I would put cans of paint up and put the codes on it. I'd do the joist hangers, stack them. I'd be out in the yard, whatever. But I was there for a couple months. I don't know, 2.5 months or so. And I remember I would do paint, and he'd say, oh, Rick, you got to fix the paint. It's messed up. I said, no, I didn't do it. Oh, Stymie's half. I said, oh, come on. I'd have to redo it. Well, I get called into the office that one day. I'm ready to leave. And Carl says, I need to talk to you, Rick. I said, okay. He says, well, you know, I'm going to be straight up with you, Rick. I said, what's that? Well, you know what? It had to be one of yours. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, you can get another job. I said, what do you mean? Tell me. He said, I'm going to tell you. He said, well, it was either you or Stymie. He told me Stymie went to civil rights because he was going to fire Stymie. And his answer is, you could get another job, Rick.
Are you saying that, just to clarify, are you saying the other guy, Stymie, was black? And
Stymie's, I lost my job.
And he didn't want to fire him because he was black, because he was worried about some sort of fallout legally from that. And he
absolutely.
Said,
absolutely. And you know what, the only good news of this story is, that lumberyard closed a couple months later. But I cried, man. I have to admit, I was an adult. I actually cried because how many times have I spoke about civil rights over the year? Hundreds and hundreds. And this happened to me because I was that way then. Yeah. I cried.
Well,
you know,
I would congratulate you for not internalizing that, because that's exactly how racism starts and how it works.
Oh, wow.
Is that it begins in the heart through experience, through education, right? Like, you know, somebody in your family says these kind of folks are like this, and then you believe it, and then you hear more experience things that corroborate that evidence, and you don't see the things that don't corroborate it, and whatever. And the reality is that we all get to make this decision in life, and I feel that this ruling by the Supreme Court that gets rid of affirmative action will only be good for America, because then there won't be people who say, well, you know, I'm so mad at this particular ethnic group because I didn't make it into this particular school and some other kid did and blah, 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 whatever story they tell themselves, right? So now they can't say, I didn't make it in because of the color of my skin. And I think it's a terrible reason to make decisions, is the color of somebody's skin. And especially when you've got college, you've got all kinds of transcripts and all kinds of information, test scores, and a whole variety of things. You can decide a future student's going to be a good choice for your university or not. But the color of their skin, crappy reason.
Yeah, if they actually are getting rid of it, and I am skeptical that this decision is actually going to do that. But Ricky, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. I know, Mark, you had a story from Reason.com about this college thing. I don't know if you want to share some of that.
Yeah, Supreme Court has struck down. This is from Reason.com with Emma Camp reporting. Supreme Court has struck down race-based affirmative action in college admissions. In a 6-3 decision today, the court ruled that both Harvard and the University of North Carolina's admission policies engaged in unlawful racial discrimination, violating the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. The decision effectively ends almost 50 years of legalized racial discrimination in the college admissions process. Eliminating racial discrimination means eliminating all of it, wrote Chief Justice John Roberts in the court's majority opinion. In other words, the student must be treated based on his or her experiences as an individual, not on the basis of race. Which, by the way, I read in some other place that colleges can consider a student's experiences based on race. So if they wrote a little essay, this is why I hate being Asian, mm-hmm. or whatever, then that can be considered as part of the admissions process.
Right.
This is why I'm oppressed being an Eskimo.
Right, and this is going to be the workaround. In fact, that's what Jeremy Kaufman from the Free State Project posted, tweeting from Kofivi Anon on Twitter, who says, this is an excerpt from the decision from the Supreme Court, quote, because Harvard and UNC's admissions programs lack sufficiently focused and measurable objectives warranting the use of race, unavoidably employ race in a negative manner, involve racial stereotyping, and lack meaningful endpoints, those admissions programs cannot be reconciled with the guarantees of the Equal Protection Clause. Okay, that's fine. Makes sense. Next part. At the same time, nothing prohibits universities from considering an applicant's discussion of how race affected the applicant's life, so long as that discussion is concretely tied to a quality of character or unique ability that the particular applicant can contribute to the university. Many universities have for too long wrongly concluded that the touchstone of an individual's identity is not challenges bested, skills built, or lessons learned, but the color of their skin. This nation's constitutional history does not tolerate that choice. So essentially they're saying they can work around this. They just can't openly state, the university cannot openly say, we will only, you know, we have to have 25% black admission.
I'd like to point out that they didn't have the guts to do that anyway. Harvard wouldn't even, prior to this particular ruling, wouldn't even tell you what the criteria were.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't even go that far because they know that racism is, you know, selection based on race, right? Like, that's racist. Mm-hmm. And they weren't going to willingly say, yes, we're a bunch of effete liberal racists. Okay? So I think that this is perhaps not the unqualified victory, but the fact is, Ian, we live in a statist world. You know that somebody's always going to be able to find an end run. Harvard doesn't operate by the same rules you and I do.
All right, there's more coming up here in moments. I just don't think people should be celebrating as much as maybe they are over this, because, again, the average person has not read this full decision, nor have I, but that excerpt is kind of a giveaway to what's really going on. It's just, there's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.